Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is, our tech stack is not Jenga. Joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Samantha Chalmers, the Innovation and Integrations Director for Mill Creek Residential, and Savas Karas, the Chief Technology and Transformation Officer at CAPREIT. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's yes.
Good to be here.
Yeah. So to me, this when I heard the topic title, Our Tech Stack is Not Jenga, I thought that was a very illustrative way of putting that. But for the benefit of our listeners in the audience, Savas, tell us a little bit about, you know, kind of define tech stack so they know exactly what we're talking about, and then why is it not Jenga?
So excellent place to start. So your tech stack typically involves software and now hardware that you use to operate your business with. It can be foundational, as simple as whatever Microsoft Office products or Google products you may be using to run day-to-day Word, Excel, spreadsheet, or it could be more complex, like your property management system and the myriad of other products that plug into that system. The reason why it's not Jenga is because when Jenga starts, Jenga is not very strategic. You're just kind of piling things on top of each other. If you take that as a technology strategy, I guarantee that your strategy will at some point fail. And also, like Jenga, we're not always trying to build the highest stack that we can build. And we also don't want to have that same Jenga outcome. And that is that everything topples. So how you build your tech stack and why you build your tech stack, I think, has one of the biggest impacts in terms of staffing, in terms of cost, and ultimately in terms of outcomes, both at a corporate level and for residents, because your residents are who kind of benefit from your tech stack if it is simple, and they can pay kind of a complexity price if your tech stack is complex.
And so, Samantha, talk a little bit about understanding and determining the strategy for technology. What is it that you look at to drive those decisions?
Yeah, I think we can keep this Jenga metaphor, you know, through the whole conversation. You know, similarly, you know, when you think about Jenga, the first move when you're playing that game is often to take a piece from the bottom, you know, because the bottom is the most sturdy and you have the least likely chance of that, you know, tower toppling over. But that is the opposite of what you would do when you're thinking about building a tech stack and thinking about all the different products that exist and what works best for your organization. You often think first, you know, you make a decision, right? Are we going to be a best-in-class organization? Are we going to have just like the full stack of what one particular provider offers? And there's limitations to both. And realistically, I think the target is always moving. But when you think about, you make a decision and then you're maybe unhappy with one particular feature that doesn't integrate the way you want it to, that's when members of your organization often start to look at other solutions. But if you ground your organization and here are the non-negotiables, here's the foundation of things that have to integrate. Think about all your touch points for all of your end users. Here are the things that have to be seamless. And here are the things that we can potentially cause a little wobbliness by testing new things. And so that's what the way I think a lot of operators think about this.
Yep. We got about 5.5 minutes left in this segment. Sabas, what are your thoughts on that?
So how you bring technology into the business really needs to be based on a strategy that you are looking for set outcomes. Often we will look at software, we see a demo, we do a small rollout, we get outcomes that we think we can then make into larger outcomes that would benefit the entire portfolio. But going through that process is always tricky, and quite honestly, you know, scale breaks things. So as you roll it out into a larger number of units or a larger number of buildings, you find out that your outcomes may not exactly align. So understanding where you need to be from when you start is a real key piece to me, because ultimately every piece of software that is in your tech stack has to align with some greater strategy. And at times, you may even find software that does what it says it's supposed to do, but strategically, it's still not a good fit for the organization. So how you approach it, to me, really needs to start with this overarching strategy of whether we want to bring it into the organization or not. And if we say yes, then we also know what outcomes we're expecting from it.
Yeah, we've got about 3.5 minutes left. And Samantha, it sounded like what Savas was just saying had to do a lot with when you're determining technology, how does it meet up with your company culture? How important is that, and how do you go about looking into that?
Yeah, I think that's so important. What I would say is when you're thinking about new technology, you're always starting with, you know, the strategy as Sava said, which really is grounded in what problem are you trying to solve? What problem are we experiencing as an organization? How is it impacting our culture? And then what are we trying to solve? You set clear expectations from the beginning. This is the why behind our exploration into new technology and our desire to want to pilot or test. This is the why. And then I think once you explain the why to all of your various stakeholders, and by the way, I think what Savas was saying really just underlines the point of doing a stakeholder analysis from the very, very beginning of when you're experiencing this problem. How is this problem affecting all of the different stakeholders? And then also, if we implemented a new solution, what do all of the members of the organization that touch this technology have to do? And it's not just touching technology. If you roll out something that requires single sign-on, then your IT team is a stakeholder. If something, you know, there can be other departments that are stakeholders that don't necessarily touch the actual tech. They don't necessarily use it, but support teams can be stakeholders. And so doing that stakeholder analysis, and then from there, it's really communicating how innovative your company wants to be, because innovation is an unknown. And so when we think about culture, there has to be some level of comfort with discomfort, because there are things that we're not going to know when we roll out this technology. The first 30 days of the pilot is always going to be very bumpy. Your on-site associates are going to need a lot of support and a lot of reassurance, because things are going to be very different for them. And so I think if you can create alignment across all stakeholders on those things, you'll be in really good shape.
All right, we've got about a minute left, Savas, and completely out of left field question here, but How did the pandemic affect adoption of technology in multifamily, and where do we stand now with it?
So I think that the pandemic really sped up the use of technology. I think the need to use technology. We started to look outside of the walls of both our buildings and also our corporate offices in how we can better leverage both work from home. For some positions, work from home works. For others, it doesn't. We started to look, I think, at a faster rate as centralizing staff, at looking at where we can put resources in a centralized way to really better meet resident needs. I know within CAPREIT, when we were looking at this, we were always focused on, and I think one of our driving factors continues to be, resident satisfaction. So not just technology, but also what is the resident outcome that we are aiming for with the use of this technology. I think that the pandemic sped up what we would typically see with different companies looking at and actually implementing software packages, because they understood that the face-to-face component may not necessarily be possible.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Elevate your apartment game with Multi-Housing News and their exclusive newsletters. MHN is the leading integrated resource for people and companies that own, invest in, develop, manage, and/or market multifamily real estate. Join the thousands of real estate professionals who trust MHN in their daily, weekly, and bi-monthly newsletters to keep them informed and inspired with property management trends, news, podcasts, and more. Find out more information at multihousingnews.com/subscriptions.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing something that's important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is, our tech stack is not Jenga. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Samantha Chalmers, the Innovation and Integrations Director for Mill Creek Residential, and Savas Karas, the Chief Technology and Transformation Officer at CAPREIT. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Sabas, we were talking during the break about one of the frustrating things that happens when you're doing introducing new technologies and so forth is integration. Let's talk about the importance of integration and what are some of the things you see that are challenging.
So I think 90, maybe 95% of the benefit that we actually get out of software is the fact that the software is integrated. I'll give you a really quick example of that. If I look at the Microsoft suite, I can basically take a Word document, an Excel document, or items from PowerPoint, and I can put them into any other document. If your tech stack is not integrated, I think that you lose a very significant amount of value. And secondly, I think that you start to double or triple at least segments of work that your staff that are actually on site have to do. That has a very big impact, I think, on their workload. And ultimately, I think it has a very big impact on the usefulness of the software or the outcomes of the software that you're using. To me, integration, it's actually my first question when I'm looking at a demo. I say, are you integrated with our property management system? The answers that I get back vary widely. Sometimes I would say that truth is being stretched of how they actually are integrated. And sometimes we will talk to people and they will say, we are. We can show you how. I can go on a website. I can find them. It always varies. But that amount that they are able to save us in terms of work through that integration ultimately has a very big benefit for us. Conversely, if they're not integrated, then what that tends to do is that tends to increase the workload on our on-site staff. That's problematic from just a workload perspective, but also from a cultural perspective, right? We are here to support resident operations. We don't want to increase their workload by giving them something that they have to, again, enter twice or enter three times.
Yeah. And Samantha, what are your thoughts on this, as well as getting buy-in from your teams if there are new technologies that you're introducing and having issues with integration?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say I completely agree with what Slavish said. For me, the importance of integration is really, it ties directly back to, do you want your humans that are working on site to do this work? You know, if this integration makes things, or this lack of integration makes things more difficult for them, or causes double work, or is adds one extra step to their workflow, then we have to just be totally transparent and say, we know that this is going to get dropped. This is going to get missed. Not because they don't want to do it, not because they're not trying to remember to do it. But what I always say when I'm having conversations with vendor partners who I feel maybe aren't fully grasping the importance of this integration or the why behind the ask, so I ask them, please picture what it was like to run a property manager, to run an apartment community 25 years ago. Let's remove all of the technology, right? We don't have smart locks. We don't have websites. You are having somebody physically come to the office, fill out a paper application, and hand them a key. And that is the process. That process in and of itself is so difficult. There are so many things to remember. There are so many laws that you have to remain compliant when. You have to remember to tell somebody, oh, somebody actually passed away in that unit within a 3-year time span. And if you don't, that could, you know, like disrupt the process of leasing out that apartment. There are small little things that you have to remember, right? And now we're layering in all of this technology, and the technology is supposed to make it easier for them to lease an apartment, not cause more friction. And so I always like start the conversation like that, because this is a very difficult job that we are asking these people to do. And so if you come to me with a technology that has accounted for one step in the workflow, but one step out of 10 within the workflow, and then the other 9 are, oh, well, that's on the roadmap. Okay, great. Come find me when those things are done, because I want my team to use your technology if we're going to be paying for it. And if 1 out of 10 are not integrated, then then we're not ready yet. And I think that goes back to what we were talking about earlier before the break with organizational culture. You know, you have to sort of toe that line as an organization. How much are we willing to partner and build out together with a prop tech provider? And what are we saying? No, you need to work on that on your own and come find us when you're ready.
Go ahead.
Sorry. So, you know, what I will say when we're having these conversations is I ask if they're willing to connect to our test environment. So we can sort of, I always call it, we're just kicking the tires. We want to make sure that what you're telling us is what in fact is true. And then I ask for a list of their API calls, because if you ask for that list and it's a very short list, you might be able to tell right then and there, oh, they're not reading much that we're sending them. And so they probably don't integrate in the workflows that we need them to.
We've got about 3.5 minutes left. And Savas, you know, when I attend OpTech or Apartmentalize, and I go through the trade shows and the expos and I see all the new technology that's out there. Are you seeing a move towards these new technologies that are always popping up where they're getting that integration piece right in the beginning, or does it take time?
So I have seen an absolute proliferation of prop tech companies. Mm-hmm. I think that the number of companies involved in prop tech year to year is probably doubling. A lot of these companies are great at creating niche software that really fills the need. The challenge and part of the cost, it is expensive to integrate. Part of that cost is actually getting that piece of software to work on a number of the major property management systems. That is a very hard road. That is a time-consuming process. I remember my very first week at work, our COO called me up and said, hey, we are trying to integrate a piece of technology for check printing and paying vendors through ACH. I said, no problem. I'll have this up and running in 90 days. We're a little bit over 3 years later. We're now in the final stages of our demo. I stuck with this process to learn from it, and it is a complex process on every side of it. It's a complex process for the PMS. It's a complex process for the vendor. And quite honestly, it became a complex process for us. So I think that the time that it takes to truly integrate software in is really underestimated by the software providers. That process to me, again, just having the opportunity to see it from every side, was really telling just about all the challenges that happen to truly get something integrated. Because every API only lets in a subset of data, right? So even if you have an API, you're only allowing in and out so much data into that data flow.
Integration is not necessarily an overnight thing. That's what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. I have never found it to be overnight, and I have actually changed my expectations of the amount of time that it truly takes to get it done. And I have seen demos, and I would use demos in quotes here, because it turned out that it wasn't even a demo. It was actually a very well-done PowerPoint. And the integration that they were showing on this turned out just to be a set of PowerPoint slides. And when we went to go to the next level, they finally came out and said to us, well, we're really not integrated.
Wow.
That stopped the entire process. Like, there's no point in talking to you after this.
Yeah, I understand. All right, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and AppFolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing an important topic in the multifamily industry. Our topic is, our tech stack is not Jenga. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Samantha Chalmers, the Innovation and Integrations Director for Mill Creek Residential, and Savas Karas, the Chief Technology and Transformation Officer at CAPREIT. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. eConserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. PayScore, learn the truth about applicant income. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. So we talked about integration in the last segment. Let's talk a little bit about the best practices when it comes to shopping new technologies. Samantha, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so when I think about new technology, when I start the process, for me, it's actually not a demo. It's sitting with somebody who works on site and understanding their workflow. Whatever the technology is, I have to understand, you know, how does the process and how does the software work today? What is the friction that they experience? What do they feel could be better or what would make their job easier? Once I've identified the workflow and thought about what the touch points are for all of the end users, you think about what flows in and out of the PMS, and then you can start to have conversations with all of the various providers in the space who work on or who offer technology that would solve the problems you've identified. That to me is the first step in making like a meaningful decision in the future, is understanding what's happening today, what are the problems today, and what do the end users say they need. From there, you know, it's kind of a simple, I write down all of the features and the touch points and a comparison matrix that I put in an Excel document. I mean, you know, this is not like super advanced, but it does help visually for our stakeholders to see who does what in a very just easy to digest format. So that's sort of my first step.
and we've got about 8 minutes left in this segment. Savas, what are your thoughts on the best practices when you're shopping for technologies?
Yeah, Semantic is you just a great place to start. The other piece that I like to just jot down is, what is the problem specifically that we are trying to solve? And absent this technology, is it truly a problem? Is it a problem that is worth our time and effort to solve? And what is the outcome that we are hoping for? Because what I like to do is direct our questions to these vendors and help frame us looking at software around that set of questions. It's a good place to start. I don't think that a demo is actually a good place to start. Most vendors always want to start you off with that, but I think of a good hour or a good chat prior to seeing the demo to help frame what you're looking at, how it actually works, and then again relating that back to the problem that you are trying to solve, I think that will pay the process in a very good way as you start to look at multiple technologies. Because in the market itself, there seems to be multiple technologies, multiple companies. Some of them are perfectly in your vertical, and a lot of them also have other modules that kind of extend their product suite. So I also like to understand that, to see kind of the full breadth that they could bring into our tech stack if we were to move forward.
Samantha, how important is it to establish your key performance indicators before you start the process?
Yeah, I mean, I think at least you are thinking about them. You know, when you're identifying the problem, to Savas's point, you know, what is the problem that we're trying to solve, and is it really a problem? How much is it costing us as an organization, either in time or money or lost applications or no-show tours, whatever the case may be? Think about that problem. How much is it costing us as an organization? And then you can build your KPIs from there. How will we measure success? Well, if the problem is we've got a number of tours that are booked on our calendar, but they're not showing up, then we can identify a KPI very simply by saying, okay, we're going to see like that number decrease or increase or whatever the case may be. So I think that is really important as you start to have these conversations and think about it, because when you know what you're trying to achieve, and it should be pretty quantifiable, it will help within your, it helps when you're sitting with the on-site associate, understanding their workflow and their problems. It helps when you're having those conversations with the various providers, but then it also really helps when you're having the conversations with the stakeholders within your organization to say, here are the partners that we or here are the providers that we met with, and then you're ultimately going to make a recommendation based off your conversations. And the reason we're recommending one over the other is because of these indicators, because of these key performance indicators. We think this one, because of the way they impact the workflow in this way, will have our greatest chances of achieving the KPI we've defined.
Yeah, we've got about 3.5 minutes left in the segment. Savas, what are your thoughts on that?
So about 50% of IT projects fail, right? That number I've seen anywhere between 25 to 85% of IT projects fail. I always find that number interesting because KPIs to me cut both ways. They cut towards how do we know that we have succeeded, but equally, if we just take the average of that, right, if we say 50% of IT projects fail, we should want to fail as quickly as possible, right? So we can then move on. We can take the time, the energy, and the money and direct it to something else that looks like it's going to succeed. So understanding when you are succeeding and, quite honestly, when you are failing, to me, is a key measure of implementing software. And if you get to a point that it does not seem that it is workable to have the software within the organization, I think that you should be able to quantify that. And I think that you should be able to tell stakeholders the reason why you are moving off of this software and looking at something else, or looking at processes possibly, right? If I can't change the software, well, can I change the process? I think that 50% failure rate really always needs to be top of mind, because you have to be able to judge whether you are succeeding or failing in what you're doing, and KPIs really help with that.
Yeah, it's kind of a glass half empty, glass half full situation, I guess, if you're
exactly
failing 50% of the time. I wanted to ask Samantha real quick. That's a pretty staggering number, 50% failure rate. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I think proper preparation for a test always involves proper training for teams. And I think it's also just a really quick evaluation of the technology and the performance right after launch. And if an organization doesn't sort of allocate the appropriate resources to those things, I think it's really easy to see how that number could be 50% or higher. Every time we roll out something new, a pilot, it's the first 30 days are rough, but man, that first week is really rough, because there's always going to be something that, no matter how much research and no matter how much preparation, there's always something unforeseen. You don't know what you don't know, and that's sort of the nature of innovation in and of itself. And so if you can be nimble as an organization, you can sort of get around it and see a higher success rate. But you have to be willing, like I said, innovative organizations, I think, have a really strong muscle when it comes to being uncomfortable. And so if you can do that, I think you can see that rate decrease. You see a higher success rate. But if you're not allocating the resources, or if you have maybe a reactive culture where, oh, we're providing, you know, it's easy to catastrophize one poor experience with and have that be representative of the whole, which is rarely the case. But if that is the culture of your organization, I think it's easy to see that failure rate increase for sure.
All right. Well, we are going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Say goodbye to pen and paper processes, labor shortages, and unhappy residents, and say hello to HappyCo, the only multifamily platform that supports every stage of your property lifecycle. Improve your portfolio with Happy Asset, the ROI-driving asset optimization solution for owners, acquisition directors, and asset managers. Manage your portfolio with Happy Property, a suite of intuitive tools that streamline operations, empower teams, and delight residents. Service your portfolio with Happy Force, an always-on remote maintenance workforce for multifamily specialists designed to increase resident satisfaction. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. For more information, visit the website at happy.co.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Elevate your apartment game with Multi-Housing News and their exclusive newsletters. MHN is the leading integrated resource for people and companies that own, invest in, develop, manage, and/or market multifamily real estate. Join the thousands of real estate professionals who trust MHN in their daily, weekly, and bi-monthly newsletters to keep them informed and inspired with property management trends, news, podcasts, and more. Find out more information at multihousingnews.com/subscriptions.
We are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We're discussing something that is important and timely, and that is our tech stack is not Jenga. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Samantha Chalmers, the Innovation and Integrations Director for Mill Creek Residential, and Savas Karas, the Chief Technology and Transformation Officer at CAPRI. I do want to remind our listeners, let them know that there are some other sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry, and CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Savas, during the break, we were talking about how implementation, when it comes to execution and evaluation of these technology stacks, is extremely important. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So all of that starts with a really good project plan. You have to understand not only the software component to it, you also have to look at training, you have to look at integration, you have to look at stakeholder reporting. You should have ways of reporting out on your KPIs and on your progress towards a successful rollout of that software. That process, to me, is multifactorial, just in that we're not just implementing software. We're really trying to take that piece of technology and integrate it into the organization. So ensuring that you have time for training, that your training meets the needs of your staff. I am never a fan of one-size-fits-all training, because I have studied training and know that we all learn differently. And if I try and roll out, you know, one-size-fits-all training, what ends up happening is that I don't meet the needs of the staff that I am actually trying to have learn something new. And learning something new is hard. Learning something new takes repetition. Again, you can't have one size fits all, and you can't have one and done. And that is especially true as the nature of the software that you are rolling out impacts how critical that process is to the organization. If we're rolling something out that impacts rent collection, we are going to demo that extensively. We are going to train on that extensively. But if we're doing something that's a little less critical, like possibly parking management, right? If parking doesn't work exactly as we envisioned, in some properties we have a gate, we can just raise that gate. In other properties, we don't. We're just trying to understand the vehicles that are there. That tends to be a less critical nature. So understanding the criticality of what you're implementing, I really think should drive how you view implementation and the amount of time that you dedicate to it.
Samantha, talk a little bit about when you've made your mind up about a technology and it's time to roll it out. What goes into that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I think about implementation and rolling out technology, once we make a decision, it really is sort of gathering, rallying the troops, really, which is everybody you've identified in your stakeholder analysis, coming together and talking about the workflow, what changes. Here's the KPIs that we've identified, and then asking everybody for their expertise. You know, my main stakeholders that I work with on a daily basis for all technology is the head of training, which Savas has said is so incredibly important, our head of software support, and then our head of marketing. Those three are my ride or die within my organization. Because we have to communicate effectively, right? Not just to our residents, but also to our on-site associates. We have to make sure they're comfortable with the changes that are happening. And we have to make sure that all settings within the PMS software are set correctly to just give us the best foundation for success. And then asking our stakeholders almost, it's almost like a relational thing at this point. Like, this is what we're doing. There is an element of unknown. So anything that you think that we're missing or anything that you think or that you see is flagging in your mind as this could be a potential issue, or, hey, I just started to execute on this particular part of my portion and I'm experiencing some friction here or there, please come to us and tell us immediately so we can work through it together. I think the best implementation teams are collaborative. They're communicative. And there's sort of a sense of just like, we don't know what we don't know. And we're almost like we're in it together, not to get, I don't know, like cheesy or too like soft on you. But there is this sense like we're all working on this together, and it will be successful if everybody brings their best effort, you know?
But I wanted to ask you, Savas, the final portion of the episode is, what is the importance of the ongoing evaluation of the performance of the technology after you've made the decision to implement it?
A rollout in software, to me, should be under constant evaluation. We should be getting periodic feedback from stakeholders. That means the people that are actually using the software in a very organized fashion, because not only does that piece of software change periodically, right? The software is always being upgraded. They're putting in patches. They're putting in fixes. Software is constantly evolving, right? A big reason why when you wake up one morning and you turn your computer on and you get the blue screen of death is because a piece of software that is running has somehow changed and has created some sort of error. And people will say, well, I haven't upgraded my software recently. Right, you don't have to. The software will typically upgrade itself. So there are lots of pieces that are surrounding your tech stack that are constantly changing. You need to be evaluating your software, at least informally, periodically, and then also formally periodically, to make sure that the software is still doing what you implemented it to do, and it's doing it in a way that still is in line with what you want your tech stack to be. And lastly, what your organizational vision is for technology. Those pieces are constantly evolving. We spend a lot of time not only thinking about software, but we spend a lot of time thinking, well, where is the company going, and how do I, as a technology leader, and how does my team support that ongoing vision? So we are in a constant state of ensuring that something is not only working today, but that we understand organizationally the vision of where we are trying to drive in some ways and support in some ways our company going.
Tell us a little bit about what you're working on now, about your companies, and if someone wants to reach out to you, how can they get in touch with you? Do you want to start out, Samantha?
It's been a very busy start to 2024 at Mill Creek, and it will continue to be probably through the end of Q1 and maybe even part rolling into Q2, but we've been rolling out quite a bit of new technology. We spent much of 2023 piloting a few things and found some success. So we're very excited about that. We have rolled out across our portfolio rent reporting technology. We are in the process of rolling out an AI leasing assistant, which we are very excited about. And we have also rolled out flexible rental payments through Flex across our portfolio. So it's been, like I said, a very busy start to 2024, but we're in it to win it. We're very excited. If you would like to find me, I invite everybody to connect with me on LinkedIn. That's kind of the best way.
Perfect. No problem. And Savas, tell us a little bit about what's going on at CAPREIT.
So it's been a very busy start to 2024. We have 11 IT projects that we are currently working on. They're in different phases. We're just starting some, but we have a very busy year. We have just started a brand new feature, I guess, within the company, and that is that we are taking a very formal look at project management. So we are starting to create that project management muscle that we are doing forward thinking around how we actually implement and how we can get the best outcomes possible. We are focused on operational excellence from a corporate standpoint, and then also resident satisfaction, really taking a hard look at what we believe our residents want and how we can meet those needs in a frictionless or with as little friction as possible. I think that is really what drives a lot of what we do. And we have a phenomenal operations team, phenomenal training team, and we work very closely with them to really ensure resident satisfaction, but also to ensure that corporately we are aligning ourselves with best practices and really thinking about the future. You can reach me two ways. My email is skaras@capreit.com. CAPREIT is CAPREIT.com. Or you can reach me on LinkedIn, Savas Karas. I'd be happy to talk to you at any time.
Perfect. Thank you both so much for being here. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.